Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast on the Youth Critic Network.
What is this place?
What's your name, honey?
I'm Joe. I teach middle school band. Got it, go for it!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm your host, Kale Smith. Joining me today is Tyler Scruggs.
Hey, howdy, hey. Thanks for having me again.
And David Weiser from Film Assessment.
Hello there. Good to be back.
And today, David, what are we talking about today?
Soul.
Today started out as the best day of my life.
Back here tonight, first show's at 7.
Yes! Woohoo!
You know what that's gonna say? Joe Gardner! I did it! I got the gig!
Must have been sudden for you.
No, it's the great before.
This is where new souls get their personalities, quirks, and interests before they go to Earth.
Meet 22.
I don't want to go to Earth.
Stop fighting this.
I don't want to.
Okay, look, I already know everything about Earth, and I don't want anything to do with it.
You're missing out on the joys of life, like pizza. I can't smell. We can't taste either.
All that stuff is in your body.
No smell, no taste.
Or touch. See?
Yes. Pixar has released a new movie this year, even though we got one, you know, back in Onward, but that was like, COVID. That was like just before COVID, so it feels like it came out 5 years ago. So Pixar dropped a new movie on Disney Plus, and it looks fantastic. Thanks because Disney actually releases their movies on 4K on their site. Not just one movie that is a new release. Not looking at you, HBO Max, at all. Anyway. But yeah, so we're talking about Soul today. It's the new movie from Pete Docter, who is now the head of Pixar's Pixar Animation. And it's fantastic. It's amazing. But before I get into my thoughts, Tyler, what did you think of Soul?
I think it matches your superlatives, honestly. I think it's a really great movie. It surpassed my expectations. And I think it's in the upper echelon of Pixar films in general. But I still kind of feel like I'm picking at this movie, not like a Rubik's Cube that I'm still trying to click into place. And that's why I've been able to watch it like two or three times now. I'm watching this movie over and over again, thanks to the release model. You know, like I remember walking out of a theater and thinking to myself, oh, I'd love to see this again. And having to like schedule that. But now I can actually, you know, rewind to the beginning if I love movies so much and just take it all in again. And so I've been watching Soul in large chunks on my iPad for some time now.
Yeah.
Just on a loop.
Absolutely. And David, what about you?
I echo both of your sentiments. I think it's one of my favorites from Pixar, at least in the last decade, like since Toy Story 3. And I've loved a lot of their work in that time period, but I think this is the best thing they've done since then. And yeah, I totally agree with everything y'all have said. It's gorgeous to look at. It's got a really heartfelt story, which most Pixar movies do, but I feel like this one is also like really tapped into the existentialism that they kind of toy with every release or so. And like this really dove into that, and I really adored it.
Absolutely. So to add context to what I'm about to say, Pixar for a little while was almost not going to be owned by Disney. It was going to be its own separate thing, or better yet, it was going to be owned by a different company. And it was so at the time in the mid 2000s, they were making movies like Ratatouille and WALL-E. And at some point, even Up was going to be a much more mature film. They were making these more mature, more, you know, adult, not like, you know, PG-13 or R-rated movies, but they were making these more mature films with mature themes. And for me, this is a harken back to the WALL-E and the Ratatouilles, where it's a more mature story. It's a more human story. It's a more, you know, focused story and not focused on being a brand or a franchise or any of that. It's just focused on the characters, the story, the adult themes. And I think that's why I and many other people love it more than anything that's come out this past decade, because it's a harken back to when Pixar was absolutely at its peak, if that makes sense.
No, it definitely makes sense. I guess I'm a little more generous to recent Pixar. I think Coco is like top tier.
Oh, I love Coco as well.
And like, I'm sure there's not a you're correct in saying that like Pixar was and is in very much danger of like being a redundancy of itself, you know, like when Cars 2 and 3 occurred, or like the intense sequelization of beloved standalone films, when people were like, oh, give us Incredibles 2, why are you not giving us Incredibles 2? And then they delivered Incredibles 2, and I kind of barely remember it.
Or Finding Dory.
But, yeah, Finding Dory was awful. I feel that way. And when it comes to Soul, like I thought Onward was awful. Soul, it's an original film, obviously, but it's very on brand for Pixar. And I think with Soul specifically, it necessitates your understanding of Pixar films. So like one of the cool signatures of Pixar films, as someone who has like been a fan of them from like birth, is like their trailers gave away very, very little information. And experiencing the film for the first time, like there is a left turn to the story that is not presupposed in the trailer. Like for example, WALL-E is like this, you know, trash earth love story, and it's sold as that, but you don't like any of the spaceship stuff or the human stuff was kept completely under wraps for that left turn. So like WALL-E's going to space, that's unexpected from the premise of the film. But with Soul, it goes straight to like this, that Pixar story. Like I was very surprised at how quickly Joe Gardner goes straight to you know, the afterlife or before life blob body. And then it wasn't until then that I realized that was only a small percentage of the story, and Pixar took another left turn. It's almost like advanced Pixar. Like it necessitates your understanding of what a Pixar film is and how it's supposed to behave, and then goes a bit further in its presuppositions than Pixar films of past. Does that jive with anyone?
Yes.
It's like almost like calculus Pixar, this film, because it's not accessible. I don't think it's accessible to as many children as we probably think, but it is a very competent children's film, and it's funny, but it's adult funny.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know exactly, I don't know any kids that have seen it yet. Because of course everyone's either still hyped up on Wonder Woman or the new Croods movie. I don't know what the reaction for kids is yet, but for me, I still think I think this still could be a kids movie. Like, this could still,
it oh, might, sure.
I think some of the thematic nature of it could go over kids' heads, but I don't know. I tend to trust children a lot more because children are still very sophisticated, and Pixar has been really good at, like, finding, even in their most, like, mature movie, Ratatouille, like, finding the sweet spot of keeping the, you know, children focused, but also not, you know, losing the parents too. They've always found that balance. And I feel like in Soul, they still have the balance with things like this is a minor spoil. This is spoilers. But when they, you know, get back to Earth and they're alive again it's a body swap situation. You know, when that stuff happens, or when the counter comes to Earth and does his, you know, thing, you know, I think there's still stuff for children. And then, going to your point, you know, the first opening minutes, that was the trailer. What we only saw was the trailer for Soul, was the prologue, just the condensed version of it. And going back to that advertising model, that's Pixar's brand, is like to give you a little taste of what the movie is, and then you go in blind to it. And I think that's always worked for them, because Pixar has a trusted brand with parents and kids. And now that we're adults, we grew up with the original Pixar movies, us three. And so now we've, you know, grown up, and now we're, you know, into that brand, you know, and even people our age are now bringing their children to Pixar movies. So, you know, it's, you know, so now that brand is, you know, continuing onward, and they've never lost that trust with people. Maybe some for Cars 2, but they've never quite lost that trust with people.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think there was a moment where people were weary that Pixar had lost its way, but they did course correct. And on average, like, they have not hurt their batting average at all, even with films. Like, Onward is a bad Pixar movie, but it's still a good DreamWorks movie. You know, like, it's...
The Good Dinosaur is a very good Blue Sky movie, but, you know, it's not great Pixar.
I suppose it's not great Pixar. I've been meaning to see that film again for a while, because I enjoyed it, seeing it in theaters, but then I, like, saw it on the bottom of so many people's Pixar lists that, like, I thought to myself, like, there must be something that is really wrong with this movie that I'm not getting. But I also never had an issue with, like, the cartoon dinosaur. I guess it's, like, the contrast between the intense photorealistic setting and, like, the cartoon dinosaurs and characters. Like, there's, like, no middle ground. But I don't know, it's Pixar. Like, I had so much fun watching this movie, and I, like, never have a, like, bad time with them, apart from their extraneous car sequels.
David, what are your thoughts on The Good Dinosaur?
I think it's, like, mid-tier Pixar, but it's still a good movie. If, like, it's just not, you know, it's just, they have such a, like when I was talking about Hans Zimmer yesterday. I think of Hans Zimmer in very high regard. I hold Pixar in very high regard. So
yeah,
when they release something that's just good, I tend to like look down on it more, I guess, or like think less of it. So I guess that's kind of where The Good Dinosaur falls.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. It's I really like you said, Todd, I haven't seen it since it was in theaters, but I wasn't that unhappy with it because I had another good Pixar movie, you know, a few months prior with Inside Out. So
that's true. Their output period, I think, since 2015 has been like there have been several years where they've released two films. And that I thought was going to hurt them more than it has. Cause like I remember at one point it was sort of a one for you, one for me with Pixar, where like, okay, we'll give you a Toy Story 3 if we do an up. But now it seems like they found their rhythm and I don't even think that there are many sequels on the docket for them. Like they seem to be like over sequels apart from the Lightyear movie that I'm super excited about. But I don't know. It's Pixar. It's fun to think about.
I thought that was a Disney World show. Oh, I thought that was a TV show, the Lightyear thing.
They just announced there is a show, but there's a movie that they've announced where Chris Evans is playing like the human Buzz Lightyear. And it's like a film about the human Buzz Lightyear that the toy is inspired off of. And it's simply called Lightyear. And it comes out in like 3 years, maybe 4 years.
Oh, okay.
Right. And there's like a, there's some other Pixar films that they've recently announced.
There's Luca in Luca. Kanto. Luca. And then there's the one about the girl that turns into a red panda. They described it as like the Incredible Hulk, but she's like a teenage girl, and when she gets nervous or anxious, she turns into a red panda.
That one and looks that sounds really fun.
Interesting.
Is that one directed by the director who did the one about the dumplings?
I think it is.
I'm blanking on the name of the.
I know who you're talking about.
Yes. Okay.
I guess coming back to Soul. One criticism that I heard people talk about was sort of the like the body switch trope. That of like people of color often spending most of their time outside, you know, their bodies as like a frog or, you know, a blob or whatever. Was that something that like, so I read that it was a criticism that they heard in production and chose to address, like, because I guess the film was supposed to spend a percentage of its time, or like a larger percentage of its time in the great before. And the Earth stuff was actually something that was an afterthought of sorts. Like they kind of reconfigured the story after hearing some of the criticisms. And I guess I'm posing the question, did the Earth stuff feel disjointed to you? What did you think of the body switching Earth portion of the film?
Go ahead, David.
I think when I had kind of been previously told that the second act was a little out there, and so I was kind of somewhat aware. I didn't know this is what they meant by that, but I was kind of like, I went into it expecting something a little strange for the second act, and so I guess I was slightly prepared for it in that sense, and I think it ended up working. It really served the story for me in terms of 22's arc and Joe coming to, like, I guess sacrifice the Earth Pass for 22 to actually become a baby or whatever.
Yeah, the universe is a little not clear. Like, it, like, or I guess like the mechanics of the world
yeah,
are not all there.
Yeah, that's my one nitpick of the movie is that, you know, so wait. There are these, these souls have to be inspired by to live, but do they remember what they inspired them? Or do they remember, or is it cognitive memory? Like, what? How does this work?
I interpreted it as though they don't remember anything in the Great Before, because clearly, like, babies don't really have any memories. Like, they're just they're forming their memories, but that kind of informs who they are as a person. Like, it kind of establishes their personality, at least in this world. Like, it establishes the core fundamentals of their personality, what their interests are, and things like that.
I think, yeah, one way of putting it, I think, is almost like they're forming less so their personality, but their intuition. Like, it's where, you know, to kind of draw threads where I don't think the film really, like, goes, it's like the access point of the zone. Like, if in the Great Before you're forming your intuition, which therefore dictates like your accessibility into the zone and like your purpose in life, because the film, you know, focuses a lot on purpose and finding your purpose and what is our purpose here on earth and how do we find that. And I think sort of this theme of appreciating life is very reverberant, and I can't wait to watch this film like sometime in the future, because this movie, when you hold it up with Wonder Woman 1984, sends a very bleak message, which is like, don't ask for anything, appreciate what you have, like, you're lucky to be alive. And I can't help but feel that thematic pressure when I watch this movie, even still, because I know it's not as determinist as it presents itself to be, but I am just so, like, I don't know. I do have mixed feelings about, like, the greater implications of the film, but I feel like we're still focusing on the text of the film. So yeah. I apologize for my digression, but, like, you know, it's kind of like thinking about the Cars universe a little bit longer. Like, a lot of things fall apart and a lot of things like get sort of weird and existential, you know, or like Toy Story. If you think too much about that universe, things start to get really weird and effed up. And this has that. Soul has that.
Oh yeah, I mean, first of all, Cars just never worked as a ideal franchise, because the more you go past the first film in exploring the world and whatnot, it just raises way too many questions that Pixar should never really, I don't think Pixar was ready to answer, or any of the people involved in the Cars franchise were ready to answer. But to address your original point about the body swapping thing, but to address that real quick, it didn't bother me, or it didn't really occur to me really, because I'm focused, because you, as someone who's like focused on the character's goals, Joe's goals are to get back to basically cheat death, come back to life, and play for his one shot that he thinks will catapult him into life. Now, the difference between Wonder Woman's kind of idea of just appreciate life or learn, which I don't think that's what Patty's goal was for that movie. Patty seems very clear that she wanted to make an allegory for climate change, even though that just got thrown out, even though the more you think about it, it doesn't quite work that way. But if you think about like what she was trying to do, from what she said she was trying to do, it works as a, you know, no, we have to put past things that we want in order to make the heroic change to save ourselves, to save the world. But Soul, but you know, in the movie's context, it's very much like, God, can you people just like, you know, you people that are so unappreciative and think you're unattractive, can you just appreciate how unattractive you are? Or that's kind of what Wonder Woman comes off as.
Yeah.
Or can you just appreciate how poor you are? You know.
it does kind of read that way in Wonder Woman's case.
Like
Soul ends a lot more optimistically, obviously, is what I want to underscore.
Well, right.
On purpose. Whereas, and I don't want to turn this into like Wonder Woman versus Soul, because I'm very tired of that like very weird presupposition. But
obviously Soul's the winner, but you know, but anyway, but right.
But the thematic experience, the cinematic double screening of this, of these films on Christmas Day that many, many people did, I'm sure. Like, I hope they watched Soul second like I did. Because
could you imagine?
Into a despair pit. Watching Soul and then watching 2.5 hours of Wonder Woman, like to then be like, you're thinking about your life when you're watching these movies. Like, at least I am, especially in Soul's case. So I don't know. I'm digressing way too much, but it's.
Could you imagine?
It's weird.
Could you imagine if Coming to America 2 came out on the same day as these two other films?
I could not imagine. I could not imagine that.
Triple feature of a lifetime.
Amazon, you robbed us. Anyway.
Soon I plan on watching We Can Be Heroes today at some point. I'm stoked to watch it. The new Robert Rodriguez children's film. Have y'all caught wind of that?
I've heard about it. I haven't actually watched it yet, but
I've seen the trailer. It looks good.
That's what I plan on doing with my day, with my New Year's Day.
It looks good, but you know.
I wish it was in 3D.
Hey, you know,
red and blue 3D. But that's, you know, that's children's entertainment today.
Someone should have asked the Criterion to release a Blu-ray 3D version of We Can Be Heroes for Netflix.
If they want to do some sort of anniversary edition for The Adventures of Sharkboy and Lava Girl 3D or Spy Kids Game Over 3D, like, I would buy that in an instant. Just like a really luscious, deluxe version of Robert Rodriguez's children's films.
Or Shout Factory. Or
Shout Factory. I do plan on buying Soul on Blu-ray or 4K Blu-ray. I wonder when that will happen. Because this is a Disney Plus original. Like, did you notice that at the beginning? Like,
well,
Mulan ended up getting a Blu-ray release fairly, like, within, like, 2 months. I think it was about the standard wait, or it was very close to the standard wait between a theatrical release and a Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. It went on digital even faster. It went on digital, like, 2 weeks after.
Yeah, well, about
a month. Onward have a Blu-ray?
Yes.
Okay, all right, so that's a thing that's happening, because I think that one was maybe a Disney Plus original.
It became
at the beginning.
It became a Disney Plus original like 2 weeks after it opened because of the COVID.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so I wanted to ask you guys, what y'all think about watching this on Disney Plus, because I was able to watch it in 4K, but what about you guys?
I actually had a really hard time watching it the first time. It was buffering like crazy on Christmas night, to the degree that like half my family gave up watching it because it would go like 45 seconds and then stop and beach ball. And it was like, I was Chromecasting it from my iPad and it was not good enough. So I don't know if anyone shared that experience, But once I downloaded it and saved it locally, I was able to watch it fine. But I don't have a 4K monitor or television, so I can't speak to the quality. Although it does look good on my phone, on my 4K HDR phone.
It looked good on my MacBook when I rewatched it, so really good. But yes, David.
I watched it at my dad's house. I'm not sure whether his TV is, I don't think it's 4K. I know I have a 4K setup here that I can watch it on. I haven't rewatched it yet. I did go back and watch certain scenes for my review and then some other stuff I was doing. But I haven't, and so I did that on this on my MacBook or my Mac Pro, and it looked pretty great. But as to your original question, I guess, about it going debuting on Disney Plus, kind of as we touched on in the Wonder Woman, I would have liked to have seen it in theaters, or at least had the opportunity to see it in theaters.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a bummer, but I mean, it's nice to be able to watch it whenever I want and however many times I want, et cetera.
One thing I can praise for sure about this film is that the 2D art was just really, really gorgeous to look at. Like, as someone who has a lot of like Pixar concept art books, this felt like something ripped out of that, especially like the Stairs to the Great Beyond and like a lot of the soulful, like the soul settings. Like it harkened to an earlier Pixar time in a way that I feel like in this last decade, they've kind of moved away from as it gets more and more photorealistic. Like Toy Story 4, a movie that I really love, like that movie is dauntingly photorealistic in some ways. Like the hyper bokeh, the scenery, like when you watch that, it makes the previous films look not uglier, but like Toy Story, the first one is kind of rough to look at this point. But
it's what it is.
It's what it is. And I like don't mean to poop on that movie at all. But like the original 2D concept art, it looks more like that than real life. And as Pixar has the ability to make themselves look more and more like real life, it was a relief to see them kind of go straight to that, I guess, Lasseter era Pixar look. Because it looked like a Pixar movie just as much as like its premise and plot played out like one.
Well, I did like though that like the real world, or like I guess Earth, was very much of the photoreal spectrum, whereas the Great Beyond, Great Before was, like you were saying, like the opposite. And so it really juxtaposed those worlds very well. And absolutely, like the world building within the Great Before, Great Beyond was just very interesting. And you kind of felt like you could have spent more time there. Just like the best like fictional worlds you can, in terms of world building, you want to spend more time there. And I can totally see them down the line making this some sort of attraction at like Disney World or Epcot or something.
That, absolutely. Or I was thinking to myself like, oh, did they even announce a Soul show? Because they might have, and it went over my head. Because like we're getting like that Up show where like we're gonna have 6 episodes of Doug the Dog. And so like there are, these films are designed to like create those kind of avenues. And I would actually be very interested in something that explores the world of Soul more, more so than I think some of their other attractions. Like as much as I like Forky attractions, I meant TV shows. As much as I like Forky, I don't think Forky makes a great like protagonist for like his show or like his mini series or whatever. Like diversifying those avenues is really interesting and fun. But what do you imagine a Disney World attraction to look like in the Soul world?
Well, I was thinking like maybe like, you know how sometimes they have those like sit down rides that are just like more geared towards children. Maybe something that could be like you transport to the Great Beyond or Great Before, something like that. And it could be like I can just imagine like the settings for the environment of the ride would just be so gorgeous to look at. And it would just be really fascinating to like, and like the Imagineering team has like done incredible stuff in like the most recent years. Like if I haven't been recently, but like, if you look at like the Galaxy's Edge and like some of the other stuff they're doing, like I would be very interested to see what they do with this.
I would kind of like to see a ride that actually went to the Great Beyond. Like, I know that, you know, it seems silly, but I kind of want to know what the Great Beyond looks like. As, you know, I kind of want to know, like, hey, you know, you introduced it, you know, and didn't pay it off, but, you know, but yeah, I kind of want to know what that's like. But I'm sure, you know, a great ride would kind of be a like a motion simulated ride. Like I don't think, no one's been on Rise of Resistance at Star Wars at Galaxy Edge, right? No one has yet.
No, but I think what we're envisioning is something more like a Mr. Toad's even, or perhaps Splash Mountain on a track. And it looks super like realistic or true to the film because of the darkness of, you know, the interior and like the hologram technology and stuff. But what if the Great Beyond Stairs was the climax of the ride and you go up to like a white light? That white light leads to outside. You're at the top of a hill, which you then almost Splash Mountain like fall down. Imagineers, call me up.
I was about to say,
I'm really good at this. Because I think those stairs would be like the main attraction of the ride, where like inside, all you see is like, it's like chalk drawings, isn't it? Like, it's so pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I gotta look at it on my phone. Like, what else is there to talk about when it comes to Soul? Like, I'm already happy thinking about it.
I think for me, one of the greatest achievements for this film is the lighting of not just, you know, of the Great Before, but just the lighting in New York City and just like the little spaces. And I mean, just everything looks fantastic visually. I mean, this is a beautiful looking movie. It's very vibrant. The world is fantastic. And to kind of go back to my point earlier, about the four or seeing the movie on Disney Plus, like for a movie that a lot of people complain about, like compressing the files and it all kind of doesn't jive well, you know, I think Disney Plus and Pixar did an absolutely fantastic job color correcting and making this movie look fantastic. Because I mean, there's just so much of this movie that looks so, like when Joe zones out into his music in, you know, we'll get to the Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross score in a second, but when that score starts up and it's just your surround sound, you're in his world, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful to look at. Fantastic animation. And it's accompanied by a really good Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross score. Now that I've brought it up, what does everybody think of the Reznor and Ross score?
Incredible.
I think it's great. I've been meaning to make a kind of master playlist of like, not of their scores specifically, just across discographies. And I really like what they've done with, I like what they've done to music composition, period, because I do think that, you know, their first score, if I recall correctly, was The Social Network in 2010. Mm-hmm. And since then, has been present in like just some of the coolest movies. And I think especially
David Fincher,
the David Fincher films, but I'm connecting it more to like Ludwig in The Mandalorian, like the influence of really electronic industrial presence, because I think that that was something that had to be refined compared to like late 90s Fincher, which is so like doused in a certain hue, and the industrial music of that time was like could not exist in a Pixar film. You know what I mean? Like it's music that sounds like rock and roll, Nine Inch Nails in many respects to my mind, but like is a soft ambient children's like universe. And that's, I guess that just speaks to their excellence as composers, because it just impresses me every time.
And then, yeah. Of course, I think we should also mention Jon Batiste, his contributions to the, not necessarily absolutely. The score, right. But yes. To the soundtrack. Oh my
goodness. Yes, and the jazz element is really fun. That being said, I will say that the opening, When You Wish Upon a Star, while I understand the joke and while I like, I get it, it made the film, like it immediately made me like want to not watch the movie. Like I was like, what is that? Mute it, turn it off. Like it was so jarring that even on my third viewing, I have not gotten like used to how that sounds. So I guess I appreciate it being left off the official like score. But that's my only bit. Other than that, it's really, really fun. I have a weird relationship to jazz, period. I've studied it like in like school, but it's not music that I really understand. And I feel like
don't tell Damien Chazelle. No.
Yeah, I was just gonna mention like Whiplash, like, or you know, some of these films that not La La Land, but like La La Land does have like a expository scene where it's like, oh, this is why I love jazz. This is like the reason for jazz. We don't really get that in this film, Soul. Like, did we really get a scene that? I know we got the scene where he was inspired and like when he went to that underground club as a kid, but did we get any textual like reference as to like why soul, jazz music specifically, like compositionally, it didn't really get into the music theory of being a music teacher. And I
think he
wish
touched
that there was
on
more
it.
Of that.
He touched on it kind of briefly when he's like speaking to the class, and he's kind of on his vibe in the piano, you know. I think he touches on it briefly there, but other than that, not really.
I mean, he describes,
which isn't a fault of the movie, it's just something
that's... No, and that's especially the thing with these Pixar films, is like you tweak anything or you desire to tweak whatever, and it's then no longer what it is. Like, as much as you could belabor, like, oh, did they spend too much time on Earth? I wish they'd spend time in the great beyond. Like, what's cool about these movies is that they still feel like artistic creative decisions are being made, not things that service fans or, you know, a greater brand or intellectual property. Like Soul is an artful movie that can exist in the Criterion Collection, like if it wanted to, and I think that that's still great 25 years later.
It would be about the third movie that it went into the Criterion Collection, because I think there's only two that ever made it into the Criterion.
Animated films?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
There's only two that I can think of. Maybe David or someone could correct me, but I think the only two are Akira and Wes Anderson's Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Really?
That's the only two. Pixar's never had a great... What?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I don't imagine like a Pixar Criterion collection coming soon, but
it'd be kind of cool.
I think they're due for something commemorative that like spans the franchise. Like, I would love a...
They recently rebranded some steelbooks. Here, I'll show you. Like, so they released these wave of steelbooks, and they all have this like kind of similar art style, and they're pretty... I like these a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's very minimalist.
Was that on Best Buy or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Best Buy steelbooks. Those were the days. I miss that. I miss going to the store and buying movies. I just don't do it anymore. It's sad.
I've been buying stuff online, and because I'm trying to buy as much as I can, I've been just buying the regular like sets or because like I would love to have like a collector's edition of Top Gun or Knives Out, but I'm kind of like, I could probably get two movies.
Have you seen the Knives Out steelbook?
I've only seen it online, not physically.
Oh no, I'm Googling this.
It's pretty cool. Look, it looks like a book. This comes off, it's like, it has a slip cover for it that's like this plastic. And so you see underneath, so it has like the actual names and stuff. And then if you turn it on the other side and you pull it down, the knives, they surround Chris Evans.
Wow, that's cool. I love that. I was saying, Marvel Cinematic Universe box set is like that briefcase or whatever, but like, where are like the standard box sets? Like, where's like the Skywalker Saga box set? Like,
why there was one on Best Buy. I don't have it with me, but it's like, yeah, that's it.
Is it the 9 film collection?
It is the entire Skywalker Saga.
It doesn't have the Star Wars stories.
No,
you'll have to buy them separate.
I have the Solo steelbook. That's like one of the few steelbooks I currently have.
I'm good with them. I'm good with just having Rogue One and Solo on Disney Plus right now. I'm good with that right now.
Fair. That's we're not really clamoring to watch those movies immediately.
Yeah, and I believe Solo and Rogue One, like their special features are on Disney Plus, like Marvel.
Very minimal.
Oh. Yeah, well, those movies had troubled production, so I don't bet there was like a detailed documentary about either one.
The only Disney era Star Wars movie that has like really great bonus features is The Last Jedi.
I think The Force Awakens has a good documentary. I haven't watched it in a while, but
I watched it recently for the 5th anniversary of the movie, and I mean it's a good documentary, but like, when you compare it to the director and the Jedi, it just doesn't hold up. Anyways, let's get back to Soul.
Yeah. Is there anything else to talk about with Soul?
I don't think so. I think people are either going to watch it or, for their reasons, or not watch it for their reasons. And I guess all I recommend is just make sure the lights are out and like
watch it in
yourself
the dark.
Give yourself the theatrical experience.
Yeah, I'm on that same train. I think it's fantastic. It's one of the best Pixar movies, and it's one of the best movies of the year. And one of our Twitter followers, I think it was Will Mavity, asked what was our top 5 favorite scores. Soul is definitely my favorite score of the year. And now that I think about it, Mank should have been on my list, but I put something else on the list. Because Mank also by Reznor and Ross is a good score. It's It's just it doesn't compete. It doesn't compete to me with this one.
So I think this one is a bit more ambitious, or I at least get the references or what it's aspiring towards more easily. I think I need to watch Mank again. I watched it once, but I think I need to watch it again with some intentionality, because I really dug that film. But you're right in criticizing the score ever so slightly, because I really can't remember much from it apart from how intentionally it was trying to evoke soundtracks of that era.
I only remember Marion's theme. That's it.
I included it on my score playlist, so it's been cycling through, and so I've heard it a lot, and it's kind of stuck in my head now.
Wow, okay, sick. So it's just a matter of getting deeper into it.
All right. With that, are we looking forward to any other Pixar movies? I know Disney has Raya and the Last Dragon, but I think that's just Disney.
Yeah, I'm down to watch whatever Pixar throws my way. One criticism that I have is I didn't watch I guess I'm blaming myself a little bit, but they don't play the short films before the feature films. And I would just love a Disney Plus feature that allows me to watch the new short film and then the feature film. But maybe that's just my, maybe that's me and the meme, like getting wheeled off, like, okay, grandma, like, let's go back inside.
Yeah. So Burrow, I think that was the movie that was supposed to go in front of Soul, is really good. I don't know if anyone else saw it, but it's really a sweet story about a rabbit just trying to build their home and being modest about it. And it's about like using the tools you need, that you only have in your hands to build or make your little burrow house.
Be grateful for what you have.
No, it's actually
don't the wish for anything.
It's actually the opposite. ask for help, in building making your house better. Ask for other opinions. That's what that movie, it's very sweet. I highly recommend it.
To watch it immediately.
Yeah, I just watched it like 90 minutes ago. So it's fantastic.
Great.
But yeah, any other thoughts on Soul? All at once. All right. Starting with you, David, where can the good people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @wiser_David, and then you can find me writing over at Film Assessment. I also have a Twitter handle for that. It's just Film Assessment.
Awesome. Tyler, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Tyler Scruggs, or Instagram, Scruggernaut, Scruggernaut. I have some essays coming out this month that I've been working on for some time. I stopped writing my regular newsletter and focused my energy on some specific points that I wish to make. So be sure to subscribe to that, tylerscruggs.com, once I make those points.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at @MovieKale, and that's where you get all the updates. Political discussions, me ranting about anti-nostalgia, or me ranting for anti-nostalgia, all of that. Anyway, that's where you can find me. Thanks, everyone. All the links to Tyler and David's blogs and their links are in the description below, so please check them out. Thanks, everyone. We'll be back soon for, I guess, news of the world.
Okay, I get it.
Wow, it's my life.
Is all this living really worth dying for? You're still alive?
Can you help me get back?
No, wait!
There I am. What are we waiting for?
Wait, not me!
Hmm,
This weird.
What is it?
151,000 souls going to the great beyond every day. And I count every single one of them. The count's off.